We're going to take our text out of 2 Timothy chapter 1, and I want to just begin reading from verse number 1. It says, I, Paul, and this is the Message Bible, by the way, so if it sounds a little bit strange, I just felt like it had such a wonderful take on the Apostle Paul's words to his son in the Lord, Timothy. He says, I, Paul, am on a special assignment for Christ, carrying out God's plan laid out in the message of life by Jesus. I wrote to you, Timothy, the son I love so much. All the best from our God and Christ be yours. Every time I say your name in prayer, which is practically all the time, I thank God for you, the God I worship with my whole life in the tradition of my ancestors. I miss you a lot, especially when I remember that last tearful goodbye, and I look forward to a joy-packed reunion. Now, this next verse, the one we got to key in on. That precious memory triggers another. Your honest faith, and what a rich faith it is, handed down from your grandmother Lois to your mother Eunice, and now to you. Folks, this is an amazing portion of Scripture. Regardless of what translation you read, you're going to find out that the Apostle Paul is saying something here that is so amazing. He says, Timothy, you are this amazing man of God, and let me tell you why. Because your grandmother Eunice was an amazing woman of God, and she passed that down to her child, and now that child, your mother, has passed that down to you. Folks, if there's anything that we can learn today, we ought to learn this. Whether we are a mother, a father, a grandfather, an uncle, a grandmother, and the list just goes on and on, we've got to pass something down to our kids. And I promise you this, we will pass something down to our kids. It's either going to be positive or it's going to be negative. Hello? I read a little story the other day that says, motherhood takes the strength of Samson, the wisdom of Solomon, the patience of Job, the faith of Abraham, the insight of Daniel, and the courage of David. And I think they got it right. I think they got it right. So this morning, the title of my message is Be. Because you see, as the elderly minister imparted something in my life, he said, be sweet. This morning, I want to give you a whole bunch of B's, okay? First one is this. Be quick to forgive and extend grace. And this is for moms, but please don't misunderstand this whole message. I really believe there's a translation that can be made, whether we're a mom, a dad, a grandparent, okay? I think there's a translation that can be made whether we're human or not, amen? Probably doesn't really go good for dogs, but every human can learn something from this message. Be quick to forgive and to extend grace. You see, your kids are going to need an endless stream of grace. And anyone that has raised a child says amen to that one. Your kids, regardless of what books you've read and what hopes you have, your kids are not going to be perfect. Even if you've made a decision, you're going to make them perfect, it's still not going to happen. They will not achieve your expectations for them. Hello? The first child has high expectations. By the time you get to the fourth or fifth or sixth, you just say, man, I hope they live long enough to get through school. Come on. So be quick to forgive them. Be quick to extend to them grace. Don't hold things against your kids. Whenever you punish them for something, don't remind them of how many times they've done it in the past. Just take care of what today has given you. Amen? Don't tell them, I know you're a liar because you've lied to me 400 times before. Leave that part out. Just say, hey, you weren't truthful with your mom today. Be quick to give them grace. And ladies, can I just say something? And guys, I expect you to get just a little bit more in the offering next Sunday for this. Be quick to forgive your husband and extend him some grace too, because he's not going to meet your expectations and he won't be perfect. Yes. Number two, be comfortable in your own skin. Be comfortable in your own skin. Be confident in your own choices. And please don't misunderstand this. I'm not talking about choices that you come up with in your own head, but be confident in the choices that you have gleaned from the Bible through the instruction of the Word of God into your life. Whenever you make a decision, be satisfied with that. I've made a right decision. Be confident with who you are. Be satisfied with who your what your life is about. And don't compare yourself to that quote-unquote supermom that's out there. Because everybody has a supermom in your church, in your school. You have that mom that just does everything seemingly right. I'm telling you, there's no such animal as a supermom. There's just moms. Come on. Don't compare yourself with that supermom. I just don't know how she does it. She works a full-time job, and then she goes and works a part-time job, but she still has time to paint the house, pour a concrete sidewalk, and raise 8 kids. I don't know how she does it. Come on. Don't compare yourself to somebody like that. You just fall into line where God has you, do what He wants you to do, and you're going to be okay. Be comfortable in your own skin. Don't compare yourself to a supermom, and don't compare yourself to a supermodel as well. Enough said. So be quick to forgive. Be quick to extend grace. Be comfortable in your own skin. And the third one is be thoughtful. Be thoughtful. Moms should be thoughtful people. I knew somebody one time that would go to the grocery store and they would buy various snacks and drinks, and they would come home and they would hide them from their kids because they didn't want their kids to have any, because those were her snacks and those were her drinks. Are you all there with me? Folks, I want to tell you something. You can't be thoughtful and be selfish at the same time. You cannot be thoughtful and not have a servant's heart. We are here to serve our kids. We have to put people's needs above our own needs. And I got to tell you this. Most of the time, I'm not talking about the big things. I'm really talking about all the little things that make life what it is. Be thoughtful in those little things. I'm thankful, as I thank my wife for being the mother of my children this morning. I got to tell you, she was thoughtful. She was always thinking. Men, sometimes, we just don't see it. We just don't see it. And who said, that's right? It's not a place to amen. But it's true. I have to admit it's true. There were many times my wife would say, hey, listen, you need to do this for your kids, because I just didn't see it. I was just too busy doing all the things that I felt like a dad should do. But my wife, having a thoughtful heart, would direct me in the right place. I'm so thankful for that. The next one is be an encourager. Be an encourager. I got to tell you this. I believe most of the time, the things our kids hear from us is negative. You didn't pick your socks up. You didn't do this. You didn't do that. Oh, my goodness. Why can't you be like your brother? I never said that, because none of the brothers were worth comparing them to. No. So many times, we've got to look for things to be encouraging about. I got to tell you, sometimes your kids really do things right. But unfortunately, we've got ourselves on a path where we think it is our job to be the Gestapo in our homes. We can't do that. We've got to be encouraging. Your kids, they are going to be beat down by everything that they encounter in life for the most part. Whenever they start school, whenever they get into relationships, whenever they have all of these things that tells them they are less than they should be, that they're not measuring up, and we need to be those individuals that are encouraging our kids. And please don't misunderstand me. I don't believe in false self-confidence. Don't tell your kid he'd be good at brain surgery if he really wouldn't. Are y'all there? But there are gifts and things that God puts in every child. And believe me, every child is a 10 in some place. A 10 in something in their lives. And we need to find that. And we need to be an encourager. You can do it. Needs to come out of mom's mouths more often than not. And guys, again, this is one for you. You need to encourage your husband as well, because we realize we're not perfect. You need to encourage your husbands. So be an encourager. The next one is be a hugger. Be a hugger. Now, you think, hugging is not a big deal. But I'm going to tell you something. There is scientific evidence that hugging is an amazing thing that you can do with a child. Okay, here it is. A good hug should be about 20 seconds long. 1-1,000, 2-1,000, 3-1,000, 4-1,000, 20 seconds long. The point of a 20-second hug is to mean to embrace the other person long enough to transmit the love, the warmth, the sincerity, all the things a hug should convey. This is a science, as it turns out, to the benefit of a hug, okay? Hugs release four happy neurotransmitters: oxytocin, dopamine, serotonin, and endorphins. Oxytocin, often refers to as the cuddle hormone, creates intimacy, trust, and builds healthy relationships. We should all be thankful for oxytocin, as it is the hormone responsible for us being here today. It is released during childbirth, enabling mothers to forget about the pain of birthing process and instead fall in love and want to spend more time with the end product, those little bundles of joy. When we hug somebody, oxytocin is released into our bodies by our pituitary gland, lowering both our heart rate and our something levels. That is a hormone responsible for stress, high blood pressure, and heart disease. Hugs also trigger another neurotransmitter, dopamine. Everything we do involves protecting and triggering dopamine flow. Many drugs of abuse act through this system. Procrastination, self-doubt, and lack of enthusiasm are linked with low levels of dopamine, and hugs are said to adjust those levels. Dopamine is responsible for giving us that feeling, that good feeling. It's often referred to as the pleasure hormone. Hugging releases endorphins and serotonin into the blood vessels, and these cause pleasures, negate pain and sadness, and decreases the chances of getting heart problems. Helps fight excess weight and prolongs life. A sincere hug will increase your sense of bonding and belonging, will increase your sense of pleasure, and make you feel good and confident, will decrease stress, decrease the risk of common heart ailments. Hugging elevates your mood, creates happiness, and the best part, it's free. We all should be huggers. I just read to you out of a scientific journal. Hugs, I never had any idea hugs did all of those things. I just knew it was good. We need to hug our kids. I got to tell you something. I don't think there's a better hug out there than a long hug from your mom or your dad. Just get around you and, you know, I got to go. No, you don't. I got to do this. No, you don't. You're staying here till I get through hugging you. Come on. And then past that, there's these grandkids that come along. And man, they got to be hugged too. Okay, so be a hugger. Next one is this. Be quiet. I see some of you ladies going, oh, how dare he? Hang on. Guys, this one's not for you because you're over there going, yes, yes, yes. Be quiet. You see, families can be noisy. Moms can be noisy. Pick that up. Take that over here. Come over here. You always got to find time to pull away from the noise and be quiet before the Lord. Because I'm telling you, if you have any idea at all what a power source that God is for the job that He's called women to be a mom, you got to plug into that power source. You got to find time to pull away and just be quiet. The Bible says it is good as a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. That's Lamentations 3:26. It says, take heed and be quiet. Fear not, neither be faint-hearted. Isaiah 7:4. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. Isaiah 30:15. Such words reveal to us this close connection between quietness and faith. They show us that a deep need there is of this quietness that I speak of this morning. We need to find a place where we can be quiet. I don't know about you all, but it seems as though my life is much more noisy now than it used to be. And I've actually gotten rid of kids out of the house. But it just seems like that there's this endless stream of noise. Can I just tell you about some noise that I experienced last night in the middle of the night? In the middle of the night, I'm laying in bed minding my own business. And all of a sudden, I woke up. And I listened. And on the outside of me, there was no noise at all. Just quiet breathing from my wife. I would never say she snores. But on the inside, there was so much noise that I couldn't go back to sleep. I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about that, and I was planning this, and I was planning that. And my mind was just so noisy. We've got to find a way to turn off the noise and be quiet before the Lord. The next one is this. Be patient. And this one's tough. Ever come to a place where you have had it up to here? You ever get to that place? I have had enough. I'm not going to take this 1 minute longer. And everybody says amen to that. Amen. We've all been there at one time or another where it just seems that we have come to the end of our patience. I got to tell you that we as parents, moms, dads, we need to be patient. We need to be patient. And we need to pray for patience. I got to tell you, it's not something that's just automatically going to happen in us. We got to be people who say, God, give me patience. And give it to me right now. Well, maybe not so much that last part. But it seems as though that's what we do. We pray that kind of prayer. I want patience. I want it now. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:32, it is better to be patient than powerful. It is better to have self-control than to conquer a city. In Proverbs 25:15, it says, patience can persuade a prince, and soft speech can crush strong opposition. In Ecclesiastes 7:8-9, it says, patience is better than pride. Don't be quick-tempered, for anger is the friend of fools. In 1 Corinthians 13, it says, love is patient, love is kind. Are y'all there with me? We need to be people who are patient. And I got to tell you, sometimes it's so hard to be patient. Just curious, has anyone in here ever lost your patience? Have you ever been around somebody that's found it? Where it just seems like nothing gets them stirred up? Are y'all there with me? I mean, it just seems like nothing can make them upset. I want to be like them. Amen. I knew a man like that. He's passed away, been with Jesus now many years, but I got to tell you, he was one of the most patient men I have ever been around. Whenever he would get in a big bind and things would be happening, and man, this is a place where you need to be throwing wrenches and kicking and saying bad words, he would just say stuff like this, well, bless the Lord. And I'd go, no, that is not appropriate right here. He just was one of those guys that sometimes I lost my patience, but I found out he's a guy that found them. Be patient. Be patient with those in your household. Be patient. Can I say this? Many times we are much more patient with people outside our family than we are with our family. And it shouldn't be that way. We should be much more patient with those we have right next to us than those that are outside. And that doesn't mean you come into my office tomorrow and lose your patience. And everyone said, amen. Okay, never mind. Be patient. Next one is be a learner. I got to tell you this, moms, dads, we don't know it all. Never be afraid to ask questions. I believe this, that there are no dumb questions. There are somebody out there that is probably God has put in your life for the specific purpose of leading you down the right trail. We need to ask questions. There are moms that have gone through it before us. We need to ask. If we don't know the answers, I can tell you. Can I just tell you this? Google doesn't have the answer for everything. It just doesn't have the answer for everything. There's some things that people know that Google don't know yet. Come on. Be a learner. Rely on those that are around you that have already been where you are now. I encourage you to study, to read, to get all those books and get all those helps and to improve yourself of being a parent. Know that there's always something out there that you need to learn. And in order to be a learner, you have to be one that's teachable. Next one is be industrious. Be industrious. I started just to put don't be lazy, but I needed a B. So be industrious. Folks, I got to tell you, today, I believe that there is a generation that is coming up that we have taught to be lazy. We've taught them to be lazy. Notice I'm including this with me. We've taught them to be lazy. The value of hard work is just something that doesn't hardly exist anymore. I'm looking at people in this room that you understand hard work. You understand what it means to come home from work and to be tired. It's amazing how many young people go out today and they find a job. And you know, the amazing part of it is whenever they find that first job, the only thing that they're looking at is how much money they're going to be taking home at the end of the day. They're not looking at what it is that they have to do, the requirement for that money they're taking home at the end of the day. And so many times kids show up for work and they're all excited, man, I'm going to get that new car, I'm going to get that new stereo, I'm going to get that new iPhone. And they begin to work and they find out that work is actually work. And they quit the next day. They go, I'm going back, that guy made me work. He expects me to do stuff. My question is, where in the world did that come from in that child? It came from their parents. You know, I've noticed that hardworking kids have hardworking parents. Parents that don't just let things go. They work. Be industrious. This next one is a moms, be strong. Be strong. And there's a few sub-points to this. Be strong, because strong moms don't give empty threats. You ever given an empty threat? You do that one more time, and you're going to get it. I'm telling you, you're going to get it. Huh, I told you if you did that one more time, you're going to get it. Now, I'm telling you for sure this time, you're going to get it. You ever do that again? You did it again. I'm going to tell your daddy. That's an empty threat. That kid knows you're not going to do anything. Moms, don't give empty threats. Follow through, follow through, follow through. Don't give a threat that you don't actually plan to carry out. So don't say stuff like, I'm going to kill you, like I used to. I'm just, some of y'all go, I cannot believe he said that. I said it a lot of times to my kids, ask them. But I really didn't mean it. They knew that was not one of the threats I was going to carry out. Strong moms don't give empty threats. Strong moms admit failure. We all lose our cool from time to time. We all come to the end of our patience. The difference between strong moms and mediocre moms is strong moms can ask for forgiveness from the kids whenever she messes up. That's what strong moms do. They admit their failure. They say, I'm not perfect. And they let their kids know that they're not perfect on a daily basis. They let their kids know that they make mistakes. They let them know that they don't always get things right. But they can always go to their kids and ask them for forgiveness. They can say, I messed up. You see, the problem many times with parents is we put on this facade that we're perfect. We try to cover up everything. Oh, don't argue in front of the kids. And please don't misunderstand me. I don't think you should fight in front of the kids, but argue in front of the kids, okay. Because whenever they grow up and get married and they've never heard their parents ever argue one time in their life because you go out in the barn to do it, and then the first time that they get in an argument with their spouse, man, they're like going, my mom and dad never argued once, and now we're fighting, and we've only been married for 6 months. I don't understand this. And they call you and say, Mom, I got to fight with my wife today. And you go, me and your dad fought. We just did it out in the barn where the boxing ring was. We gotta allow our kids to know we're not perfect. We gotta allow them to know that whenever we mess up, we not only go to them and ask their forgiveness, but we also go to God and ask His forgiveness. That's what strong moms do. Strong moms are not just people who admit their failure, but strong moms are people who listen. Kids want, or let me say it like this. Kids need a voice. There's too many times that we tell them to be quiet. Sometimes they just need to waste an extra 15, 20, 30 minutes before bedtime telling you all about the dreams, all about the stuff that they've done today, all the stuff they did last month. They just need to talk to somebody. And I got to tell you, this is one of the places where I erred a lot, because by the time my kids were ready for bed, I was ready for bed. And I was like going, oh man, if I can just get them to sleep, I can be asleep. I was singing the praises of bedtime. It's bedtime. It's off you go. And there were times whenever I knew my kids wanted to talk to me. As I sat on the side of their bed, I knew they wanted to talk to me. But you know what time it was? It was bedtime. Go to sleep. Come on. Moms that are strong are moms that listen. You know they want to talk. You need to listen. Strong moms don't care. Now hang on. Some of y'all are going, ooh. Strong moms don't care. Strong moms will have to cancel play dates, zoo trips, church events because of bad behavior. They're okay with being the mom that sends out the mass text to the other mothers, that we have had a last-minute change of plans based on behavior. They're okay with taking away a privilege and being embarrassed because they were the mom who had to send that text. They don't care. And you know why? Because their child's heart means more to them than everyone else's idea of what kind of parent they are. Come on. Strong moms don't care. Now, don't misunderstand me. I don't think we ought to be, you know, going into corporal punishment in the middle of the store, but there are times whenever you need to discipline your kid right in the middle of the store. Come on. I've seen them try to pass by. Oh, please don't scream. Oh, here's something for you. I'll buy you all this stuff. The kids, I remember one time, and my middle son, oh my goodness, he had such a big mouth. He was in the store doing something wrong, and Renee reached over and pinched him on the leg real hard. And he goes, ow, mama, why'd you pinch me? We're going to beat you when we get to the car. So you better thank God all she did was pinch you. Strong moms just don't care. You know, they don't care what their children think about them because they need to discipline them. Strong moms take risks for their kids in the kind of way that makes them a better person. I think everybody has an idea of being a super mom or a super dad. You juggle a family. You get this amazing dinner on the table. You have the house clean and you know, supper is amazing. You see, I think we should want to be a strong mom. At the end of the day, strong mom is going to help make the world a better place because the adults that will come from her home will be people of integrity, people of confidence, because they had a great listener. They had a great cheerleader. They were accountable because they learned early that even as an adult, it's important to admit whenever you're wrong. They will set them apart from most adults right off the bat. You see, a strong mom is somebody that leads by example. They show their kid what matters most and knows the heart of their child. Be strong, mom. This next one, be a fan. Our kids need some fans. How many of you all know that there's only one most popular kid in every school? That leaves everybody else out. Your kids need a fan. They need somebody who will just be their cheerleader. Just man behind them, everything that they do. They just cheering them on. You're good. You're great, man. You are awesome because you're my kid. I love you. I got to tell you, if it wasn't that way with God, I would have quit this kingdom stuff a long time ago. But my God is my best cheerleader. there are times whenever I just don't feel like I can go on. And he comes and sits down beside me, and he tells me stuff that is good. He tells me stuff I've never even thought about. And I go, God, come on. You're not talking about me. You are talking about me? I like this. And I can go from downcast and downtrodden to being lifted up because I got a cheerleader. Be a fan. Next one is be honest. Be honest. Sometimes you need to be honest with your child. Sometimes you need to say, you're probably not going to make NASA. Probably not. Just, you don't like math. You hate math. I mean, my mom knew that I was never going to write a book. She knew that. Because I hated English in school. Digesting a sentence? No. Whatever it was, I hated it. You understand now? Sometimes our kids just need us to be honest with them. Our husbands need to be honest. You need to be honest with them. Be honest. This next one is be happy. Be happy. Have joy. The Bible tells us in Philippians 4:12, it says, I am just as happy with little as with much as is little. I have found the recipe for being happy, whether full or hungry, hands full or hands empty. Be happy. Folks, I got to tell you something. Even if your kids pick their nose and never, I'm not going there, but you understand, you can be happy with your kids. They're gifts from God. Many times we see them as curses from Satan, but they're not. They are gifts from God, and we need to be happy. Whether I am abased or whether I abound, I am content. Be consistent. I had somebody tell me one time in my office that they had no idea which wife that they would be going home to today. And I'm thinking, I have a polygamist in my office. Some of you are going to get that eventually. What he was talking about was his wife's moods. I can go home and she's perfectly happy. I can go home and there's stuff flying through the house at me. She was very moody. Be consistent. You see, be a rock for your family. They get the same mom every day. Does that make sense? The same dad every day. Just try to be the same person every day. Don't let your mood swings go from one end to the other. Be consistent. Be a prayer warrior. Be caring. Be a fighter. Be a nonconformist. And the last one is, be sweet. Man, we need a lot more sweet moms than we have. We need a lot more sweet dads than we have. And I want to end this morning by reading you something that I came across, and it was just one of those things that was so well written that I believe that it is indeed good for us to invest a few minutes on it. It's pretty lengthy, and so it's going to take me a moment to read through it. But nevertheless, I believe that it is good. Listen to the words of this young lady. She says, a few years ago, whenever I had just 4 children, and when the oldest was still 3, hang on to that one, I loaded them all up to go on a walk. After the final sippy cup had found a place and we were ready to go, my 2-year-old turned to me and said, wow, you have your hands full. She could have just as well said, don't you know what causes that? Are they all yours? Everywhere you go, people want to talk about your children, why you shouldn't have had them, how you could have prevented them, and why they would never do what you have done. They want to make sure you know that you won't be smiling anymore when they are teenagers. All this at the grocery store, in line, while your children listen. The truth is that years ago, before this generation of mothers was even born, our society decided where children rank in the list of important things. When abortion was legalized, we wrote it into law. Children rank way below college, below world travel for sure, below the ability to go out at night at your leisure, below honing your body at the gym, below any job you may have a hope to get. In fact, children rate below the desire to sit around and pick your toes if that's what you want to do. Below everything, children are the last thing you should ever spend your time doing. If you grew up in this culture, it is very hard to get a biblical perspective on motherhood, to think like a free Christian woman about your life, your children. How much have we listened to partial truths and half-lies? Do we believe that we want children because there is some biological urge or the phantom baby itch? Are we really in this because of cute little clothes and photo opportunities? Is motherhood a rock-bottom job for those who can't do more or those who are satisfied with drudgery? If so, what were we thinking? Motherhood is not a hobby. It's a calling. You do not collect children because you find them cuter than stamps. It is not something that you do if you can squeeze the time in. It is what God gave you time for. Christian mothers carry their children in hostile territory. When you are in public with them, you are standing with and defending the objects of cultural dislike. You are publicly testifying that you value what God values and that you refuse to value what the world values. You stand with the defenseless in front of the needy. You represent everything that our culture hates because you represent laying down your life for another. And laying down your life for another represents the gospel. Our culture is simply afraid of death. Laying down your own life in any way is terrifying. Strangely, it is that fear that drives the abortion industry. Fear that your dreams will die, that your future will die, that your freedom will die, and trying to escape that death by running into the arms of death. But a Christian should have a different paradigm. We should run to the cross. We should run to death. So lay down your hopes, lay down your future, lay down your petty annoyances, lay down your desire to be recognized, lay down your fussiness at your children, lay down your perfectly clean house, lay down your grievances about the life you are living, lay down the imaginary life you could have had by yourself, let it go. Death to yourself is not the end of the story. We of all people ought to know what follows death. The Christian life is resurrection life. Life that cannot be contained by death. The kind of life that is only possible when you have been to the cross and back. The Bible is clear about the value of children. Jesus loved them, and we are commanded to love them, to bring them up in the nurture of the Lord. We are to imitate God and take pleasure in our children. The question is not whether you are representing the gospel, it's how you are representing it. Have you given your life to your children resentfully? Do you tally everything you do for them like a loan shark tallies debts? Or do you give them life the way God gave it to us, freely? It isn't enough to pretend. You might fool a few people. The person in line at the store might believe whenever you plaster on a fake smile, but your children won't. They know exactly where they stand with you. They know the things that you rate above them. They know everything you resent and hold against them. They know that you faked a cheerful answer to that lady only to whisper threats or bark at them in the car. Children know the difference between a mother who is saving face to a stranger and a mother who defends their life and their worth with her smile, her love, and her absolute loyalty. When my little girl told me, "Your hands are full," I was so thankful that she already knew what my answer would be. It was the same one that I always gave. Yes, they are full of good things. Live the gospel in the things that no one else sees. Sacrifice for your children in places that only they will know about. Put their value ahead of yours. Grow them up in a clean air of gospel living. Your testimony to the gospel in these little details of your life is more valuable to them than you can imagine. If you tell them the gospel but live to yourself, they will never believe it. Give your life for theirs every day, joyfully. Lay down pettiness. Lay down fussiness. Lay down resentment about the dishes, about the laundry, about how no one knows how hard you work. Stop clinging to yourself and cling to the cross. There is more joy and more life and more laughter on the other side of death than you can possibly carry alone. I felt like that was very worth reading. Moms, be the moms that God has called you to be. And at the end of your life, I promise you this, you'll never have regrets being a good mom. Never. Father, we love you this morning, and we thank you for the opportunity that you've given us. We indeed, Father God, believe your word is true. And as we have gone through the pages of your word, Lord, we know, Father, that there are so many in this room that have something so valuable to pass down to their kids, moms, dads, uncles, aunts, grandparents, Lord. So many individuals, Lord God, that it takes to raise a child. We put in your hands this morning, Lord God, all of our moms. In fact, I put in your hands our moms-to-be. Because even out of our youth group, Lord God, there's going to be kids that one day call me to the hospital to visit their newborn infant. And I ask you, Lord, to ingrain in all of us what it takes to be a good mom. Help us, Lord God, to lay down our lives for our kids. Help us, Lord, to put the value of our children above our own. Help us, Lord God, to give them the best testimony of the gospel that we could possibly give. Father, this morning, I pray especially, Lord, for families right now that have kids in the home. Moms, Lord God, that sometimes it seems as though they're hanging on by a thread. Sometimes it seems as though the cares of this world, they're drowning in them. I pray, Father, that the precious power of your Holy Spirit would lift them right now, Lord.